you guys. You are so nice. Well, I really didn't expect to be doing this with my life. But as some of you know well, when you're called by God and when God keeps opening doors and encouraging you to go in a direction, your life can change drastically in really great ways. And I'm excited to share a lot more about that with you tonight and a lot of the songs that I've written. This morning I want to share one song with you. It is called You Are. It's an original song, and it just speaks about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And I really believe and can speak from my own journey that it was in seeking Jesus hard with all that I had that I really found that what the Lord said in Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me, or you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart and with all that you are. And it's true. It's true. And when you do that, I think it's just natural that you discover who you are and what your call is. So here's a song called You Are.
We are all on our own journey, searching for the truth. We are hungry, weak, and thirsty, searching for some proof. Where you are is where we want to be, and one day we'll see you, 'cause we believe you are the way. You are righteous, and you are the life. You are truth. You give us living water, and we will worship you. We can't let our hearts be troubled, and we can't give way to dismay, trusting only in the Holy to guide and light our way. Where you are is where we want to be, and someday we'll see you, 'cause we believe you are. And you are the life, you are truth. Oh, you give us living water, and we can you reconcile. You're the way, the truth, and the life. We are grateful that you are the way. You are righteous, and you are the life. You are truth. Oh, you give us living water, and we will worship you. Oh, we.
Today, our scripture reading is from Acts 4, 8 through 13. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them,
Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.
When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
Leonard Dow is our speaker this week, and he is the pastor of Oxford Circle Mennonite Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He's a graduate of EMU, and while he worked in the banking industry for many years, he felt the call to ministry and changed careers to be the pastor that he is now. Now you can find him bringing God's kingdom in Philly with his wife, Rosalie, and their three children and their growing congregation. So let's welcome Leonard Dow.
Good morning.
Morning.
Our scripture verse that I want to focus on is in Acts 4:13, and I'll read it again. And it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary. You say that word with me, ordinary. Men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Our scripture reading this morning is about ordinary people, but by God's grace, doing extraordinary things. In a world that glamorizes and idolizes superheroes, I believe our God desires even more so this day, your generation, to equip and set free and call ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Our text this morning, Peter and John enter into a gate named Beautiful, right on the outside of the temple. And just prior in chapter 3, they heal a lame man. And when they came to the temple, the Bible says in Acts 3, they came up and the man who was lame was there waiting for them. And as he had done for 40 years or more, he was a beggar. He was a professional beggar. And so what he would do is he would depend on the kindness of others as people would go to the temple. And because he was lame, though he was Jewish, he could not go in because he was unclean. So as they walked up, he did what he always did. He asked for some money. And Peter and John, just like Pastor Leonard said, I ain't got a dime in my pocket. But what we do have, we will give to you freely. And they reached and they asked the man to look at them in the eye. And they reached out and they touched him and he was healed and he went on about his way. But that wasn't the end of the story. This man lost his mind because he was healed. And because he did not grow up in the temple, he didn't know how he was supposed to act. He didn't realize he was supposed to contemplate and sit there and just receive. He went in the temple like David and was dancing and shouting. And they said, isn't that the same lame man that we have passed for 40 years, giving him change? How can he be praising the Lord? And they said, what happened to him? In fact, they probably said, why did it happen to him? And so the religious leaders of the day said they had a meeting and said, we don't know what happened, and we have to find out who did this to him. And those two who had did this to them were Peter and John. Ordinary, everyday people. It says there in verse, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? Did you heal? And Peter, similar to his sermon in Acts 2, powerfully shares that everything that he does, be it preaching the gospel or healing a lame man, comes through God, through the Spirit, and is not from him, but is from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was a pregnant pause to say, yeah, amen. 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 We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. Though threatened with imprisonment, Peter and John continued to hold firm to this public proclamation, and as a result, they were going to be arrested. But the religious leaders were concerned, and the Bible says they were concerned because if ordinary people can do extraordinary things, then we as religious leaders, people won't need us.
Amen.
Amen. The college kids picked it up. The older folks are like, is he going to continue or is he just... Peter and John in our reading this morning reminds me of my father. My father was unschooled, unlearned, unsophisticated, and dropped out in fifth grade because he had dyslexia. And so he never finished school. He didn't learn how to read fully until he was in his 60s. But in every good sense of the word, he was a good father. But I'll be honest with you, he was ordinary. And I wanted Rambo. I wanted Clint Eastwood. I wanted, I don't know who the big guys are today, but I wanted that person. But my dad was ordinary. He didn't talk loud. He wasn't big. I was bigger than my pop. He was just an ordinary guy. He didn't use big words. He always came home, waited for dinner, washed the dishes, listened to family radio. I had to read the Bible to him because he couldn't read. Ordinary. I will be honest, like most children, I wasn't crazy about the Clark Kent father that I had compared to seemingly people who had fathers who were supermen. And we are the same. We don't like the Clark Kents of the world. We like superheroes. I know in my 12 years of ministry here, when I talk to families, and we want super husbands, we want super wives, we want super children. We don't want ordinary. But this morning we read that our God is interested in ordinary people so he can do extraordinary things through them. And then in that extraordinary status, all praise and glory goes to who? Yes. You can clap, that's all right. In fact, there's songs, and I couldn't think of a modern song because I'm an old head, but I remember this song growing up, Bonnie Taylor, she sings it. It says she's holding out for a hero. You know that song. I can hear the music in the video and the wind blowing in my hair. It was the 80s, I had an afro. And it goes like this. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He got to be strong. He's got to be fast. He's got to be fresh from the fight. I love things that rhyme. I need a hero, she goes on. I'm holding out till the morning light. He's got to be sure. And it's got to be soon. And he's got to be larger than life. We love superheroes. Let's be honest, Clark Kent was merely in the TV series of Superman, was merely a beat writer. He wasn't anything. But Superman, we love when Clark Kent takes off that shirt and I'm not going to do it, don't fear. And back in 86, I would have, but now it's not a pretty sight. And he would take it off and he was a superhero. We, who often think of service and think of call or think of opportunities to be in ministry. Instead of thinking of the ordinary, the everyday, we look at those who are superstars in ministry. Those who are so-called radical in what they do, and we say and we lift them up and they become super people. I'm here to tell you, God is interested in the ordinary folk, like you, like me, like our scripture. This line leads us to our misunderstanding of call, the song that I just quoted. We want to be heroes as well in our ministries and our understanding of call. We wait and say, Lord, until I can do something that can save the world, I don't want to do anything. And so we paraphrase that song. We say, we got to be strong. We got to be fast. We got to be fresh. We got to be sure. We got to be larger than life. And that's a lie. God is looking for ordinary young people like you to do something extraordinary that may just change your home, that may just change you, but can also perhaps change the world. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, Say the word with me. Ordinary. You didn't say it with me. The brothers up here sweating. I'll try it again. Give us another chance. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled,
ordinary
men, they were astonished. These people shouldn't be able to do what they're doing. How are they doing it? It must be something beyond them. And that something is the Holy Spirit that was dwelling in them in power and in fullness. This day, I want to encourage you that in a world that glamorizes and idolizes superheroes, I believe that God is desiring to equip ordinary young people to be and to do extraordinary things in His name for God's glory, not for our own, not for our own denomination, but for God's glory, that He would get the praise. There's this song that I was singing on the way in the car, and I had to have the windows up because I can't carry a tune if my life depended on it. But I was singing it, and the song goes, if you can use anything, if you can use anything from me, Lord, you can use me. Take my hand, take my feet, take my heart, Lord. And if you can use anything, Lord, use me. I wouldn't use me, but if there's something within me that you find worthy, use me. And I'm telling you, young people, if that's your heart's desire, our God will meet you, as our sister sang this morning. Amen. Some of you may be asking, if especially President over there, he may be asking if I'm advocating that we're satisfied with mediocrity. Should these children not, you young people, be excellent in what you do in education? Should you not be looking to excel greatly in your field of study? So am I suggesting to you, brothers and sisters, to simply be satisfied with just being average? No. Martin Luther King puts it better, and I used this last evening, but I was quoting from my memory, which isn't good. He said this in Philadelphia on October 26, 1967. He says this, and when you discover what you will be in life, set out to do it as if God Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. Don't just set out to do a good job. Set out to do such a good job that the living, the dead, or the unborn couldn't do it any better. His words, if it fails your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Come on. That's good stuff. This isn't my stuff. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Street sweeps like Leon Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Come on, that's good stuff. Sweep streets so well that all of the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a street sweeper who swept his job well. Is it his understanding of an ordinary job of a street sweeper that if Christ is in you and you're doing it not for your glory but for God, something good is going to happen. Don't get me started with that clapping. No, I believe that Dr. King, like the writer of Acts, recognized that when God has called you, He will equip you and He will empower you. And because our God has called us and equipped us and empowered us, our God will then release into you this gift into ordinary people. If I had a dollar for every time an EMU professor would say, Leonard, I can't believe you're doing what you're doing. Because what they're saying is, Leonard, you're an ordinary student. I had a young lady come up. I think she still attends here. Don't raise your hand. But she came and visited us at our church. And she was walking around. And she said, Pastor Leonard, can I ask you a question? She said, you know, what she was trying to say is like, Pastor Leonard, I'm not really that impressed with you. It's wonderful you're doing here in the community, in the community center, and all these things. But what she was trying to get at is like, you're ordinary. And I said, yeah, this is all you get. But I serve an extraordinary God. Amen. Amen? The gospel song talks about this extraordinary. What does that look like? The gospel songwriter puts it this way. It says, I got Jesus. I got something on the inside that's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. It's this sense that on my own I am nothing, or on my own I am limited by my resources, by what I know. But with God, who has unlimited resources, the possibility is endless. Our God can do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine.
Amen.
If we would just say, Lord, if you can use me, take my hands, take my feet, take my mind, take my heart. Use me, Lord. Use me for your will. What I'm seeking to name this morning is that in a world they glamorize superheroes, again, I believe our God desires to equip ordinary people. The Bible talks about us as clay, and that God is the shaper of us. And God is wanting to shape you, young people, and even us old heads. He wants to shape us. Right, old people?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. They couldn't even get there. They're like, amen. They're all sitting to the left. Just look at them. They're over there. They're over there. Look at them, all of them, all of them. There's a few characteristics I'm going to quickly go over. What does ordinary people look like Peter and John? One, they are forgiven. They know that they are forgiven. Peter was a man who knew he was truly forgiven. After denying Jesus in a very public way, three times, that should have been the end of Peter. But he knew he served a God who can forgive. Young people, don't get so caught up in what you cannot do or what you have done. Our God forgives you and is ready to utilize you right now in a wonderful way. Secondly, they are loved. John and Peter, companion, is known as the disciple that Jesus loved. He knew that God's love was available to him. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, always protects, always trusts, always preserves. Love never fails. The third point is that those who are ordinary recognize and they want to be obedient to God's call. See, if we have this understanding of ordinary, that every one of us are called. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called. Because if we have this misunderstanding of a superhero and ordinary people, that means just the superheroes are called, just the Pastor Leonards are called. No, every one of us are called to a place and to a purpose wherever we are at. I don't care if you're a social worker, an accountant, a lawyer, it doesn't matter. You're called to be in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And if you take that posture and that position of saying, if you can use anything, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. And the last point is ordinary people. And this is an important one, young people. Ordinary people are dependent. Are dependent on the Spirit of God's strength, not our own. The Bible says, I am the vine. This is Christ speaking. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
The old heads knew that. You young people didn't. I'll say it again now that you know the end of that. Let me read it again. I am the vine, you are the branch. If a man remains in me and I am him, he will bear much fruit, or she will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing. Education is wonderful. Family is wonderful. Church family is wonderful. But going, as Keith Green used to say, going to the McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Those things do not make you a follower of Jesus Christ with the incarnation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Being in those places doesn't mean that you know Jesus for yourself. Without Christ, we can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Amen. I'm going to finish up here. I started talking about my father, an ordinary guy. Growing up, I didn't want my father to come to games because he usually came dressed in his work uniform in which he pressed clothes. And everyone I knew at Christopher Dock, parents came dressed like this. And when he would pick me up, he would pick me up in a 1960-something. It wasn't a classic. Station wagon Batman with the little things, fins that would go up, and he would beep the horn, and I would just go over there, go over there, go over there. He was ordinary. My father became a deacon at a church in Philadelphia called 10th Presbyterian, where everyone there has a PhD in something. And he impacted that church. One day he saw a beggar outside of the church and invited him in. He didn't know that you're not supposed to do that. He invited him in and have him have a seat, and then took money out of his pocket and fed him. Well, that beggar then came and told somebody else. So how many know about 10 folks showed up the next Sunday? He got called to the church office. It's like going to the principal's office. And said, "Deacon Dow, what are you doing? We got these beggars coming to church every Sunday. What are we going to do?" Well, my father said, "Well, why don't we feed them?" He's a what? Ordinary guy. He said, "Well, how can we feed them?" Well, maybe we should designate some of our money to feed them. So over a period of years, that grew into what's now called the Acts Ministry down at 10th Press, which is a wonderful ministry. But then my father wasn't satisfied. He said, "Well, it's wonderful that we're feeding these gentlemen and families once a week, and that's good, but perhaps if we would help get some of them off of the drug addictions or help get some jobs, perhaps, I don't know, I'm an ordinary man, perhaps they would not have to come every week and beg for food. Perhaps they could be empowered to be able to do something on their own. Ordinary." So they began working at that. And then my father said he kept pushing because he didn't know any better. He began asking, "Well, it's great that they're eating. It's great that some of them now have jobs. But I noticed that none of them really attend our church. Perhaps we need to work at incorporating people from the community into our church." Ordinary. The man that I was embarrassed to hang out with is now someone I extremely look up to, and unfortunately he's no longer here, but I want you to know, if you recognize that without Christ you are nothing, but with Christ through the Spirit you can do extraordinary things. I am telling you, God can take you on a journey in this life that would be unimaginable. Unimaginable. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary. Say it with me.
Ordinary.
Men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They said, these men have been with who?
Jesus.
May that be your call. That when people look at you, they won't say necessarily, "You must have went to EMU. President's over there. Well, that wouldn't hurt." I'm looking at the development guy back there saying, "Well, that wouldn't hurt either." But may they say, "That young man, that young woman has been with who?" Young people, are you ready to accept your blessed position as ordinary in Christ this morning? Are you ready? Are you ready to be Clark Kent for Jesus? In a world that glamorizes superheroes, I believe our God desires to equip ordinary people like you, like me, your professors, to do extraordinary things in His name, for His glory. God isn't asking us to leap a building in a single bound. He isn't even asking us to be strong or to pretend that we have all the answers or pretend that we know everything. No, rather He is asking us to be ordinary in the best sense of the word, knowing that we have received His forgiveness, that we have the capacity to love, and that we are walking daily in obedience and totally dependent on our God. Moses stood before God, a stutterer, a murderer. He was quite what?
Ordinary.
Jacob, we heard about on Wednesday, a liar, a cheater. He was quite what?
Ordinary.
David, young and dumb, out of control, an adulterer who would become king. But first he was Peter, couldn't keep his mouth shut, a liar, who then became the rock in which the church was built. But first he was
ordinary.
The little boy with two fishes and five loaves. Did I get that order right? Yeah. Said, Lord, if you can use anything. That little boy was quite ordinary. The woman at the well, caught in adultery, became the first evangelist of the church. Billy Graham couldn't touch her. Proclaimed the gospel, and the Bible says the whole town came to Christ. She was quite what? I want to invite you, whoever, old heads like me or young people, if that's your desire, like they that I mentioned, to stand and recognize that you are ordinary, but you desire to have in your ordinary state to do extraordinary things in this life. I want to invite you to stand where you're at, and I just want to have a prayer of blessing over you. So if that's your desire, I would just ask you to stand. You don't have to stand. This is not a manipulation. This is not an altar call. It's a calling call instead. But I just want to have a prayer of blessing over you. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray those who are standing are no different than the saints who have come before us. In fact, when you look through Scripture, it's amazing that we have come thus far. But the underlying current or that which was before us was your Spirit guiding us. You have taken very ordinary people, in some cases downright below ordinary people, and have done extraordinary things. Even our Anabaptist heritage, when we think of those who did what we would say is ordinary today, coming in the 16th century and baptizing one another. They were ordinary, but yet they were positioned to do an extraordinary thing that 500 years later has produced a people who are seeking to change the world in your name, Lord. Allow this generation that is standing before you, Lord, who desire to, or they recognize that they are ordinary, but in the best sense of the word, they desire now to be shaped by you, to have their empty cups filled by you, so that they may do extraordinary things. Just in a pause of silence, I invite you just to affirm what I have prayed for you in any way you would affirm, and just say, Lord, amen, or Lord, I desire that in some way at this moment. Just a moment, you to be alone with the Lord. And so, Lord, as the great Martin Luther King, an ordinary man who did extraordinary things, has said, if we're going to be a street sweeper, allow it to be in such a way that those who are alive, those who are dead, and those who are in heaven above would say, there lies a street sweeper, there lies a social worker, there lies an accountant, there lies a nurse, there lies a missionary, there lies a pastor, who is doing their job so well that the host of heaven has to peer in. And the people of God said, amen and amen. You may be seated.